Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cachette, and joining me in our conversation today is Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Even though nobody else can see us, this is audio. You look fabulous today.
Thank you. You too.
Glad to hear it. Well, it's no secret that the United States right now is in the middle of a very turbulent election process. And maybe turbulent isn't a strong enough word.
Craziness.
It's a little crazy. It's uncertain. Everywhere we turn, whether it's on the television or on social media, or on the news, we feel the tension and the chaos from this whole election year process. And, ultimately, we know that what happens is going to impact our individual lives, our companies, our businesses, everything. And, you know, I recently came back from an international trip where I was in London and Cape Town, South Africa, and I had multiple conversations, and they are watching our elections perhaps even more closely than we are, because they know it will ripple down and affect them. Turbulent times here impact so many other people. When I'm thinking about turbulent times and how we respond to them, I can't help but think of air travel. Maybe it's because I just came off of 30 hours of airplane travel this last week. But, when you hit turbulence in an airplane, it's interesting to watch how the different passengers respond to it, especially when it's really bad turbulence.
Yeah.
There are those men and women who panic. You can tell they are so afraid that the turbulence means the plane's going down. And so you can just see the tension on their face. They're white knuckled, gripping their armrests. They're so afraid. We have other people who turn inward. They close their eyes. They sing songs, anything to kind of calm themselves. And still others, when the plane hits terrible turbulence, I've watched them turn and comfort somebody next to them. And so I just can't help but think that that's a great metaphor for what we're talking about today in terms of how to be a storm-proof leader. So when turbulent times happen, how to be the kind of person who knows how to stay strong and lead well in spite of the tough times. And maybe I'm being too simplistic, but is this basically what you want to talk about today, Michael?
Yeah, I think so, because I think that turbulence, adversity, challenge is why we need leaders. And if as a leader, you think you're not going to encounter those things, I mean, kind of what's the purpose for your existence? People need leadership in those situations, and leaders are the people to give that leadership. Mm-hmm. And, we're not done with them. I know when we thought we got through the Great Recession, we thought, everything would be behind us, but there are always new challenges. And I think they're necessary for us because they cause us to grow. They cause us to grow in our leadership. They cause us to grow as people. And so they're a good thing that we ought to welcome and lean into.
I think it's important to note at this point that turbulent times, tough times can come in many ways, shapes, and forms. We have the election process, which I already mentioned, which any kind of political tension creates a sense of unease with us. But there can be tough times in a family, tough times in a marriage, tough totally. Times in a business, tough times in a church or an organization. I mean, it can come anywhere. And so the goal today is to deliver 5 survival secrets for tough times. So even if you're not in a turbulent time right now, you can't wait till it happens to know how you're going to respond. You need to be proactive today. And so, Michael, you're going to give us these 5 survival secrets that will help us know and be proactive about how we're going to lead in those tough times, which may be as soon as today or tomorrow. We just never know.
Yeah. Some people are in the middle of it right now. Some people just come out of a crisis. And I heard somebody say one time, you're either coming out of a crisis, you're in the middle of a crisis, you're about to enter a crisis.
So that's good news for those of us that are coming out of a crisis. But for those of you who are getting ready to go into one, I'm so sorry. All right. So go ahead and tell us, what's the first secret, survival secret for tough times?
Yeah. The first one is to shift your perception. And I think perception is everything in a sense, mm-hmm. how we perceive what we're in the middle of. How we see the value of it or not see the value of it is important. And I think one of the most important things is that we have to acknowledge reality, but in the context of a larger story. Mm-hmm. I think it's sometimes we get into these times of change and we want to enter into denial. And I remember during the Great Recession, that's what we all did initially. We didn't think of it as the Great Recession. It was just a little bit of an economic downturn, but we have to shift our perception. And this is what Jim Collins referred to in his book, Good to Great, as the Stockdale Paradox. Have you ever read that?
The Stockdale? No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you remember the story, but as a leader, he says you have to simultaneously do two things. And this is what he means by the paradox. First, you have to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whether that's in your business or your family life or your health or whatever. Whatever they are, how difficult they may be, you've got to admit them. At the same time, and this is the paradox, this is the second thing you have to do, is you have to retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. Now, to give you a little bit of a background on Admiral Stockdale, from where Jim Collins got this, he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, get this, for 8 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, after his release, and I can't imagine what it would be like to be a POW for 8 years, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But a reporter asked him, how in the world did you survive 8 years in a prisoner of war camp? And he answered, and this is a quote, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that we would get out, but also I would prevail in the end and turn this experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." Now get this. Then the reporter asked him, "Well, who didn't make it out?" And Admiral Stockdale replied, "Oh, that's easy. The optimists." Now, isn't that funny? He said they were the ones who said, "Oh, we're going to be out by Christmas." And then Christmas would come. And then they'd say, "Well, we're going to be out by Easter." And then Easter would come and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving. And then it would be Christmas again. And they died of a broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then Collins goes on to state that an attribute of truly great companies and great leaders is that they are able to embrace simultaneously these twin truths of their current reality and their ultimate triumph. They're like two sides of the same coin. And if you just embrace reality without ultimate triumph, it leads to cynicism, maybe even despair. And we all know people like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an overt focus on reality that leads to cynicism. You know, it's never going to get any better. It's the end of the world, whatever. If you just embrace the ultimate triumph without embracing the reality, it also leads to cynicism, but the cynicism of your people, because they just say, you know, Michelle doesn't get it or Michael mm-hmm. doesn't get it. So they see you in denial, and that's the one thing you don't need in turbulent times, and that's the one thing you definitely don't need to be communicating in turbulent times. So those two realities are critically important if you're going to succeed. You got to shift your perception, look for the reality, acknowledge that, but also be firm in your conviction that you're going to triumph.
This is so powerful. I mean, this just one is so powerful. And I just want to restate it again, that you acknowledge your current reality. So that's basically admitting what really is. So you're not trying to candy coat it or make it better than it is. Acknowledge your current reality. But I love what you said initially, but in the context of a bigger story, that yes. ultimate triumph at the end. And that's how you shift your perception, which really is the first secret to surviving tough times as a leader. Yep. What is secret number two?
Secret number two is to shift your intention. Now, one of the marks of authentic leaders is initiative. They don't sit on the sidelines where they're waiting for somebody else to act. So a great example of this, another military example, is Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore, who was famously depicted by Mel Gibson in the movie We Were Soldiers. Did you see that movie?
I did. Okay.
So it's another Vietnam War era story, but before leaving for Vietnam, he gathers all of his troops into this high school football stadium along with their families, and he tells them, again, I'm quoting, he says, "We're going into battle against a tough and determined enemy. I can't promise you that I will bring you all home alive, but this I swear before you and before Almighty God, that when we go into battle, I will be the first to set foot on the field and I'll be the last to step off. I will leave no one behind, dead or alive. We will come home together. So help me God." I mean, I just like tear up remembering yeah. that.
Oh, so, I love that.
So leaders go first.
Absolutely.
And you know, it sometimes happens in small ways. It sometimes happens in bigger ways. But when I was the CEO of Thomas Nelson in the middle of the biggest storm that I'd ever faced in my career, the Great Recession, the tsunami of change, you know, it was sometimes small, it was sometimes big, but I remember that in the face of digital change, I thought, I'm going to lead into this. I'm going to be the first person in my company to own an Amazon Kindle and begin to learn how to use it and not fear it. I can't afford to sit on the sidelines and wait for other people to experiment. And a lot of my colleagues that were in the industry, you know, were hoping that the digital revolution would go away, and it didn't. When we were facing a downturn in our revenue, I mean, the whole economy was upside down, and my industry was down by about 20% back in 2009, and our revenues fell by about 20%. I didn't wait for the board to come to me and say, hey, look, you need to do some layoffs. And as much as I hate layoffs, and there were many sleepless nights that I and my leadership team had as a result of that, we took the initiative before the board even thought to ask, and we started making the hard decisions that we needed to make. And I'm going to give you a Colorado story. You know, when you're skiing, one of the things that's really important is that you don't get too far out over your skis.
True. That is very true.
I won't tell you the whole story. I think you've actually heard me tell it publicly. I'm going to cut it short. But I remember going up on what I thought was a blue trail, you know, beginner. And a friend of mine had taken me up.
It's a green trail. Greens are beginners, yes.
Yeah, right. So he took me up on a blue, which is like the intermediate, right? And he was kind of surprised because he thought it was green. And I was scared to death. And I said, how do I get down? He said, well, you're going to ski down. And then he took off.
There's really only one way to get down.
So the thing that he said before he left me alone, left me in the lurch, was he said, look, I know this is counterintuitive. You're going to be tempted to want to lean back. And if you do that, you're going to fall. So he said, the best thing you could do is lean downhill. And so I did that. And I did still fall, but I didn't fall as much as if when I was trying to lean back and protect myself. So I think as leaders, we've got to lean into these tough times if we're going to get down the hill with a minimal amount of wear and tear.
So the second secret is to shift your intention, which is all about leaning into the tough times versus pulling away. Pulling away is almost our instinct, right? We pull away from pain, but in leaning into it, it actually ends up becoming a means to survival and great leadership in the middle of tough times.
Well, that's right, because, and I think the reason we lean back or that we won't engage or we won't take initiative is fear. Mm-hmm. And I think if there's one thing that's required of us as leaders, it's courage. And remember in that same Mel Gibson movie, I mean, one of my favorite scenes in that entire movie, We Were Soldiers, is that when he's standing up talking to his troops and the bullets are flying around him. Do you remember that scene? Uh-huh. And he's just perfectly calm. He's giving direction, but he has courage. Now, this is an important distinction, but courage isn't the absence of fear.
Not at all. No, it's not.
I tell you, during the Great Recession, you know, I actually, to be even more honest, the entire time I was the CEO, I was scared a lot because I was scared that I didn't have the knowledge, the experience. I was scared I didn't have what it takes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was being called on to make decisions that were affecting, in my case, 650 families. I was scared. But as a leader, you can't afford that to lead to paralysis. You've got to make a decision, even though you're afraid. And to me, that's the definition of courage, the willingness to act in spite of your fear. Do it scared. Mm-hmm. And once you learn to do it scared, I mean, you know this from public speaking. You know, I remember the first time I ever spoke publicly. I was scared to death for a week before that happened.
I was quite certain I was going to throw up on the platform. That's all I'm saying. Oh. It was terrifying.
I remember reading about somebody just recently. I can't remember who it was, but it was an actor. Maybe it was Frank Sinatra. I can't remember. But anyway, that he still, even to the very end, would throw up before he got on stage. Uh-huh. And but he did it scared.
You do it scared. And believe it or not, fear can serve you well if you push through it. I mean, it doesn't serve you well if you give into it. I spend a lot of time talking on the subject of fear simply because of my story and my brand. So this is one of my hot topics. But fear can actually be a great asset if you're willing to leverage it to push you forward.
Yes. Yeah, totally. I agree with that.
All right. So the first secret to surviving tough times is to shift your perception. The second survival secret is to shift your intention. What is secret number three?
Secret number three is to shift your direction. So in the middle of a storm, you lose visibility, right? So your vision and your strategy may be perfectly clear in good times when the weather is calm, but it all gets really confusing and messy fast when you're in economic storm or any other kind of storm. So in 1993, for example, I was attending a sales conference in Colorado Springs. And when the conference was over, I had to drive from Colorado Springs to Denver to my in-laws where, Gail and my two oldest daughters, Megan and Mindy, were waiting. So a few hours before I left, it started snowing. And I mean, really hard. And, you know, I've spent most of my life in the South, so I don't typically see a blizzard or a snow like this. But the visibility went down to about 20 feet. I could see hardly anything. But I kept driving because I really wanted to see my family. And I didn't really know how bad it was, but I got off on an exit to use the restroom, and somehow I got turned around into what turned out to be a blizzard. And I wasn't sure if I was heading in the right direction. I just wasn't sure. I completely lost my bearings. The one thing I knew is that if I stopped, I would eventually run out of gas and freeze to death. Uh-huh. So I kept going. But when you lose vision, the temptation is to stop. And you may need to do that for a short period of time to kind of regain your focus and your strength. But eventually, you have to make the call as a leader and keep pressing forward. You've got to shift your direction. So I think it's important not to stop. And I think that sometimes we have this mythical idea that that we're going to sit still till we get clarity. And I find that clarity actually happens as we move toward the destination. Mm-hmm. So for example, if I'm trying to look at a sign off in the distance and I can't quite read it, if I can take a big step in the direction of the sign, you know, I get more clarity about it. And so, you know, shifting the direction, changing course, sometimes you just absolutely have to do that. And you've got to be willing to do that in the middle of turbulent times. If something isn't working, you've got to change direction. It may be in your family life. You know, maybe the parenting strategies that you're using aren't working. You got to be careful about this because sometimes it takes a while for them to show up. You got to be persistent in doing the right things. But sometimes you have to change the strategy. And we've been in positions in our current company where maybe a promotional strategy wasn't working. And we had to be willing to just completely change strategies if we were going to be successful. We didn't change the objective. We give that up very reluctantly, but we were happy to give up the strategy or change the direction if it will enable us to get to the result.
All right, so shift your perception, shift your intention, and shift your direction. These are the first three survival secrets for tough times. We still have two more coming up in a moment. But Michael, before we continue our discussion on how to be a stormproof leader, you have a free resource that you want to share with our listeners.
Yep, I do. I hear from people all the time who feel overwhelmed. They feel burnt out. They're on the edge of exhaustion. And they feel like their most precious commodity, their time, is just evaporating. It's getting away from them. So I've put together a free ebook called Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week. And if you feel like you're not getting to the most important things in your life, or you feel like you're putting in more time at the office than you would like, I've outlined some effective strategies in this ebook that you can use to be more productive, find more free time, and feel better about your week. So just go to michaelhyatt.com/10hours, 10 hours, easy for me to say, 10 hours, to receive this resource as a complimentary bonus for signing up for my newsletter. And again, it's free.
Such a great resource. And, you know, if you wanted to, I think I probably would buy 10 hours in my week if I could, and you're giving it to us for free, which is such a great offering. So thank you for that, Michael.
You're welcome.
Again, all you have to do to get this ebook is to go to michaelhyatt.com/10hours, and that's the number 10, 10 hours, and they just sign up right there on that page, correct?
That's right. Couldn't be easier. Put in your first name, put in your email address, click submit, and then you'll be able to download it free. It's easy as that.
There you go. About 30 seconds of your time, friends, and you can get 10 more hours this week. Now, let's go back and finish our conversation on how to be a storm-proof leader. Five survival secrets for tough times. And so far, we've talked about three of them. Shift your perception, shift your intention, shift your direction. What is secret number four?
Secret number four is to shift your acceleration. You know, with email, social media, text messages, all these have conditioned people to expect a near instant response. And I remember about 20 years ago, I started a publishing company with a partner. This was way before Thomas Nelson, but we had this dream to publish books that truly mattered, that made a difference in people's lives and the overall culture. The only problem was we didn't have a lot of money and our competitors had seemingly every advantage, including piles of cash, working capital, or at least so we thought. And we still had this dream to make a difference. And our only strategic advantage was to respond quickly. And as it turned out, we signed lots of authors, even big authors, for less than the competition. Why? Because we moved fast and we got deals done. Responsiveness was a major competitive advantage. Now, we could never pay more than our competition. Usually we offered much less, but we could outmaneuver and outflank almost all of them. So our size, being small, was a strategic advantage, and our responsiveness was a strategic advantage. We were lean, we were mean, and as a result, we grew rapidly. So I just want to say that for many large companies, this is tough, particularly when you get in turbulence, because the bureaucracy, the sheer size of it, works against them. It's hard to get anything done quickly. But I just want to say that as a leader, if you're going to be successful in leading in turbulent, challenging times, you've got to have a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, your situation can lull you to sleep. So you've got to create that sense of urgency. I think even by the pace that you set for your team, I'm the kind of person that I walk fast. I tend to talk fast. You know, I've worked to try to slow down my talking even, but I want to create that sense of urgency. And one of the things I love about my current team is that it's so agile. You know, we move fast. We produce a lot of stuff and we do fast iterations, and it's the kind of culture that we've created, but it really helps us when there's any kind of downturn or setback because we're resilient. You know, we can respond quickly. We can get a new strategy and we can move forward. And you've got to have an organization that moves fast if you're going to be successful in turbulent times.
And basically what you're encouraging us with this one, as well as secret number three, too, is one of the greatest, I don't know, symptoms or fallouts of tough times is paralysis. You know, we don't know what to do, so we do nothing. And you're just really encouraging us with shift your acceleration to get moving, to do something, to don't allow paralysis to keep you from action, especially when you're leading in tough times.
Yeah, totally. Because the point of absolute certainty never comes, I don't care, even in the best of times. Mm-hmm. So as a leader, you have to act without absolute knowledge. You've got to act with less facts than you would like, probably fewer resources than you would like, but you still have to act. And the longer you procrastinate, the bigger problems you're going to create. And there have been a lot of battles lost, a lot of wars lost, simply because the leader couldn't pull the trigger and make a decision. And you know, there's very few decisions that you can't recover from. I know some of them are fatal, but there's very few that you can't recover from. But sometimes people lose the battle simply because they refuse to act and they let circumstances overtake them, and then they're lost.
All right, shift your acceleration. What is secret number five?
Secret number five is to shift your allocation. Now, unlike the federal government, you can't fund new programs without defunding old ones. And it seems like the federal government, is the only one that hasn't gotten the memo. And their politicians just don't do this. They're not leading. They're not facing reality. They're just kicking the can down the road, leaving it for somebody else at some other time to deal with these monstrous debt problems that they and their constituents have created. Now, what we've got to be willing to do is acknowledge the fact that time and money are finite resources. You're never going to have enough of it. So stop complaining about it. You know, I don't know of anybody in small business or large business that has gone to their boss and said, you know, I've just got too much money to work with.
I've never heard that either.
I have too many staff people. You know, what everybody says, and I've worked in a lot of corporations, and I don't care where it is, people are saying, we need more resources. We need more resources. What the leader does is stop bellyaching about it and decide to reallocate those resources by defunding programs that aren't working. So in the middle of the recession, one of the things that we realized is that about 80% of our revenue was coming from about 40% of the book titles that we published. Now, some of those titles were unexpected surprises, so I can't know with absolute certainty which books are going to work and which weren't. But I was pretty sure which books were a long shot. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to go in and reallocate our resources by cutting out all the titles that we didn't think had a very good chance of success so that we could reallocate and refocus those same resources on the books that we thought had the best chances of success. And that's what I mean by reallocation of resources, or taking a department that's not working or an activity. You know, I was doing Periscope, as you know. Gosh, what was that? Maybe just a little less than a year ago. And I was doing it every single day. And that was a pretty big time commitment. And at some point, about 30 days in, my team and I, we got together and we said, you know what? We got to reallocate that time because there's not a good return on investment for that. And that was fine. But that's just the world of limited resources. And as a leader, you've got to have the guts to make those tough calls, to stop doing the things that aren't working so that you can focus more resources, including time and money, on the things that are working.
This whole idea of shifting your allocation is true for any time in your business or your personal life, but especially so in tough times. And so just be aware of the fact that those limited resources will require your attention as a leader as far as allocation, even more during tough times than during normal times. So, So far we've talked about five secrets for surviving tough times as a leader. We want you to be a stormproof leader and someone who knows what to do when the turbulence happens. First secret, shift your perception. Second, shift your intention. Third, shift your direction. Fourth, shift your acceleration. And five, shift your allocation. Now, before we wrap up this episode, I do want to ask you just a quick question about what we do when the storm or the turbulent times are chronic and long-term. So as a leader, when you find yourself in a situation where you're engaged in a long season of upheaval, it's very easy to lose your motivation and your inspiration and even your strength to keep going. So what piece of advice would you have for that leader who has been in that chronic long season of tough times in order for him or her to kind of find their strength and energy to keep going at this point?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. One is make sure you're getting adequate rest and taking care of yourself, because that's usually the first thing that goes in a crisis. You think, I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to eat well. And you really can't afford not to do that, because all the problems we're talking about are made worse when you're tired, when you lose focus, when you stop being productive, you start making bad decisions and making mistakes. So make sure you and your people are not burning out. Give them adequate rest so they at least have the physical and emotional resources they need to succeed. Secondly, is keep connecting with your why. You know, why are we doing this? What's the transcendent purpose for which we're, you know, pressing and we're trying to work here? So in the middle of a storm, people's tasks become disconnected from the bigger picture, from the larger story. And then it just feels like, you know, they're having these battles and they don't really know what it's for. And you've got to keep connecting them to a bigger purpose. And so I think as a leader, those two things I would recommend above everything else.
Great advice, Michael. Thank you. Well, if you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. Can you do us a favor before you go today? I promise it will only take about 30 seconds. Head over to iTunes and rate this podcast. This is huge for us in terms of improving our ranking in iTunes and keeping the show visible, getting this material into the hands of the people who need it the very most. Thank you so much for helping us out. Any final thoughts today, Michael?
Yeah, I would just say lean in to the challenges when you face them as a leader, because this is where you're going to grow as a person. I've had all these things, including a near bankruptcy in my past, managing through the recession, things that I would never want to repeat again. But I wouldn't trade the experience and the skills that I developed in those situations for anything in the world. That's how you get better. That's how you get more effective. So embrace it.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Well, thank you again for joining us. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.